Welcome to the show, Lauren Langfield.
Hey, Simon. How are you going?
I'm well, thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for getting up early and joining us, hey?
That's all right.
So you've obviously been on the show with us before, but it's come around to that time of year and the sort of we're talking young gun of wine.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's a viticulturalist aspect to this this year as well. And so you've had a bit of a journey with the young gun of wine.
I have, yeah.
So why don't we start there, and then I want to hear a little bit about your label and then your day job, I guess, at
sure.
August Wines.
Yeah, okay. So I released my very first wines in 21.
Yep.
I entered them into the Young Gunner Wine. And that year, 22, I think it was, I won the Best New Act Award. So you know, they have several trophies through the competition. So you have your top winemaker, but you also have Vineyard of the Year, there's the Best New Act, there's a Danger Zone, which is awarded to someone who's, you know, doing something a bit different.
Yep.
And there's the winemaker's choice as well. So we all vote, cast our vote as we're tasting through the trade tour. So you tour through, you know, major capitals in Australia. So the award isn't just about, you know, get your name out and advertised, you know, on social media, but there's also tastings that we all go and show our wines to the trade.
It's an important thing, isn't it? Because if you're an emerging winemaker, getting anyone in the trade to have a look at it, or you know, anyone putting a list together anywhere, you know, to be able to be considered, you know,
get your wine in front of a lot of people all at once.
Yeah,
absolutely. Really, really good exposure. And also just getting to meet lots of other winemakers who are all kind of doing the same thing as you, going through the same steps as you. So it certainly feels like you've got a little bit of a community, which is, you know, quite nice when you spend a long time usually on your own doing all these things.
Yeah.
But so you did that, and then after that I actually started working for Orbis Wines. So that was when I got my first sort of head winemaker role. And then so I entered my first wines that I produced for Orbis Wines the following year.
Nice.
And that was when I won the Young Gun of Wine.
Excellent.
So I entered a Trousseau and a Pet Nat from our vineyard.
The young kid wines.
Yeah. It's the wines, yeah. But, no, it's been great. This year, so as a winner, we go back and I'm part of the judging. So that's something that happens every year.
Yeah.
Go back and sort of learn a bit more about how they judge you and what's being considered in the application, as well as the wines. And, you know, the fact that they do look at, it's not a blind taste. They're looking at you and, you know, what you're contributing to the community. And, you know, it's a bit broader than just what wine are you making.
And is there sort of a view of, you know, are you going to make it under the current guise, or do you need a little bit of, discussion around and mentoring and that sort of thing? Not so much?
Not so much, no. It's probably more... I guess people are probably a little bit more established than that. Say usually the people who are entering, they're talking about who their influences are, and often they do have mentors and they're working with, you know, some really fantastic established winemakers in their areas. So, you know, a lot of people come with some pretty fantastic CVs, and you know, I guess that's part of the wine industry, that we're always trying to, you know, look at what other people are doing and learn about how they're doing it. And, you know, a lot of people, we go and we spend our spare time trying to learn from other people.
Yeah.
So,
you may as well have learned from mistakes that others have made, right? So you don't need to go through that yourself.
You get a good mentor and they'll tell you all their mistakes.
Yeah, right. Well, yes.
No.
But it is a very collaborative industry. We hear it time and time again. You know, it's just
definitely.
Everyone's essentially everyone holds hands, even though you're all effectively competitors, but you're sort of not, really.
No, there's enough people around that it's hopefully, you know, we can all just do our own thing and everyone appreciates different things.
Well, and everyone's got to get their own story and their own approach and their own, you know, reason for bringing this, you know, the wine to market. So that's part of the fun and that's part of, I mean, that's what this show is all about, really. Is you guys telling your story, right?
That's right.
So so your label, so you, under your name, so Lauren Langfield Wines, you do two wines. Tell us a little bit about how and why, because they look fantastic on your website.
Thank you. So two wines has always just been two wine release because the economics of releasing wines, you know, starting a wine label and, you know, purchasing good quality grapes and then the whole shebang, it's fairly draining on finances. So at this stage, I've just been releasing two wines, but I have actually started producing more wines now this year. So hopefully we'll get to a point where there's a few more wines coming out. The first year I released a Sauvignon Blanc and a Merlot, which people laughed a little bit at, Kiwi coming over here and making Australian Sauvignon Blanc. But I love the varieties, and I just want to make wine that I really enjoy drinking, and I know, you know, hope other people will enjoy drinking too.
Yeah. And it comes from growers or a vineyard that you believe in,
yeah,
I guess.
Right.
And
yep, correct.
Yeah, and that the fruits is, you know, right up to standard for what you want to put out.
That's right. And then I've actually just released a Chardonnay and a Grenache. So spreading the varieties out a wee bit, but making my first Chardonnay this year. And actually in vintage 24, I'm going to make a different variety. I'm making Cabernet Franc from the Langhorne Creek. I'm part of a project called Project 5255, where they pick every 2 years, they pick three winemakers who they gift grapes to. And we're part of promoting the region and showing what the vineyards can do and showing what sort of wines we can produce. So that's this year's new thing.
So did you say Cab Franc?
Yeah, Cab Franc.
Yeah, great.
Yeah. So myself and Brendan from BK Wines and Anita from Wangalina, we were all selected this year to do that project.
Oh. So when do those get released? So when do we see those?
Up to each winemaker. So whenever they're ready, whenever they're happy, the wines are ready to go. So there'll probably be a bit of a staggering as the wines are released, but there'll be a little bit of promotion and you'll see us all out there showing our 5255 wines and talking about Langhorne Creek.
Fantastic. And so firstly, how do people get a look at your Lauren Langfield wines? Is there anywhere to try them or it's more just buy them?
I have a distributor who is selling the wine on my behalf. Now I'm making enough wine to do that. Mm-hmm. So I'm working with Hallowarn, which is based in Melbourne. So they're the ones who are out on the trade showing the wines.
Right.
But, you know, very much a...
So Hallowarn's is...
Come out.
Hallowarn's is easy to say, Lauren, but looking at it written, it's a...
just spell it out, yeah.
So we've got a Halle, so then yes, and correct. New word, A-U-X, new word, yep. V-I-N-S, so clearly correct. French.
Yes.
And, so anyway, look up Lauren Langfield Wines on the website.
Thanks very much.
LaurenLangfieldWines.com,
yeah.
Okay, so... the Grenache, that the way you've written that up, that sounds bloody beautiful. 80-year-old vines, bush vines.
Yeah, little springs,
there's
old
amazing
vines,
stuff
bush vines.
There is.
So there's lots of fantastic winemakers in McLaren Vale making really good Grenache. So I wanted to give it a go and picked a vineyard which I thought was pretty special.
Hey, I'm interested just on the Sauv Blanc that you made. So obviously it's not in the New Zealand style, but do you have a preference given you're a Kiwi?
I'm not a very loyal Kiwi. I'm probably taking a lot more inspiration from the French than from the Kiwis.
Okay. So let's put a little bit of fume into it or something.
Absolutely, yes. Bit of oak and bit of texture and not too much capsicum.
Yep. Righto, good.
I made a lot of Sauvignon Blanc when I was in New Zealand.
So who did you work for over there?
Oh, I worked for quite a few places, but that was back when I actually spent a lot more time in vineyards than in wineries. Okay. So my winery experience was more vintage related. But I focused mostly in the Nelson Marlborough region while I was in New Zealand. Okay. So did all my studies and things there and tried to work as much as I could. And then came over to Australia.
Did you study as a viticulturalist or a winemaker?
In New Zealand, you study both. My degree is viticulture and oenology.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly had plans to be working more in viticulture, so I spent more time, taking electives that were related to viticulture rather than winemaking. It's mostly the jobs that I was doing. I was looking into organics and biodynamics and wanting to learn as much as I could about those sort of farming systems. Then when I came to Australia, I sort of followed that track as well and learned a bit more about mineral intervention winemaking.
What is that, just briefly?
Mineral intervention winemaking, I suppose it's
minerals from the soil or...?
Oh, minimal. Sorry, that's probably my accent.
Oh, minimal.
Minimal.
Okay, sorry. Probably everyone else got that and they're throwing stuff at the radio. I need to put my other headphone in my ear. Minimal. And let the plant and the fruit tell the story. Is that kind of the thinking?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so... not too much influence from coming from the winemaker, not really having to do too much in the winery because you've done all your work already in the vineyard.
I love that you've got that viticulture side and that you obviously have, a passion for that as well, because it really is where the work's done, as you just said. So that would obviously influence the growers that you would work with at this stage as you're sourcing stuff and relationships with those growers. I noticed that the McLaren Vale Grenache is from a vineyard that's using all of the all the organic and I suppose biodynamic principles, but not necessarily pushed to the level of certification or gone through that process.
Yeah, so certification doesn't always necessarily mean it's the best result, but it just means that as a consumer, you know that they've been meeting the right standards. So I would like to work with certified vineyards, but sometimes it's just not the reality of the situation. But
I was just going to say from a purchaser, like a winemaker purchasing grapes, are you necessarily paying more for them when they've certified biodynamic or organic?
Generally, yes, but not always.
Okay.
There's definitely a bit of give and take when you're looking at site and looking at what they're doing, looking at variety they're growing, looking at how they're growing them, vine age. There's lots of things that play into those sort of purchasing decisions. So, to be able to understand and have those conversations with a grower and know what they're talking about, know about the challenges they've had those years. That's where the sweet spot, I think, is for me that I am able to do that. Whereas, some winemakers may not understand the challenges of the growing season. It's hard because you need to kind of both be working on the same page.
Yeah, well, and absolutely, because there's a whole bunch of stuff that isn't at your disposal if you're really following the principles to the letter, isn't it?
That's right.
Yeah,
it's true.
So, look, we hear it, you know, again, we hear it, you know, over and over, that people are really, they're, you know, using the principles, but it's more just concentrating on soil health and vineyard health and plant health, isn't it? I mean, ultimately, that's what you're trying to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just have the healthiest plants, you know, growing in the right spot.
Yeah, well, it should be. That's what you want people to be doing. That's right.
So if we look at Orbis Wines, so where you're the head winemaker, what is the philosophy there, and what sort of the range like over there?
So I suppose this sort of circles back a bit to the Young Gun of the Year award. So when I won that last year, that was for my wines that I made with Orbis Wines.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually the first year in 17 years that a winemaker working for a, you know, as an employee has won.
Mm-hmm.
Normally it's people doing their sort of side hustles and their own little projects. And so that sort of shows a little bit about the role that I have at Orbis. It isn't necessarily a traditional winemaker position because I'm involved in the vineyard as well as in the marketing, as well as the sort of planning for the wine styles and sort of... I'm the general manager now as well as head winemaker, so it's sort of an all-encompassing role.
Yeah.
And that was probably why a little bit went towards me for the win, because I've kind of got a hand in all parts of the project. But Orbis Wines was established in 18, and I had my first vintage with them in 21, 22, sorry. And it's a husband and wife who own a 32 hectare vineyard in McLaren Vale.
Mm-hmm.
It's an old vineyard, so it was planted in the 60s. So we've got some nice old vine Shiraz. Orbis Wines is about looking at, you know, how we grow our grapes and how we make our wines and the reduction of the carbon emissions associated with that.
Okay.
So we focused a lot on you know, producing really sustainable wines. And so we've got an off-grid winery, which is completely solar-powered. We deliver our wine in South Australia with the electric car that charges off the winery roof. We're looking a lot at climate-suitable grape varieties. So we've been pulling out some of the older, less productive parts of the vineyard, replanting with lots of the alternatives.
So what sort of things are you planting? Well, like, what have you identified as...
Yeah, so we've got Albarino and Fiano as some of our new whites. We've got Nero and Montepulciano. We've got Cinso, Grenache, Tempranillo. We're looking at varieties which, you know, are better suited to handle these sort of fluctuations in heat, drought tolerance, looking at water reduction. So plant varieties which require less water, especially through those drought periods. And also looking at things which maybe have a bit of thicker skins. So they've sort of got those natural protections in the weather.
Yeah.
And also just looking at things that can hold their acidity and maybe have a bit of a longer ripening period so that we do get those fresher styles of wine without having to look at making additions or, you know, we can have those natural acidities in the wine.
Yep.
And, you know, even looking at some lower alcohols by the time we pick them.
Right.
So, yeah, it's, you know, that's sort of one part of what we're doing, and you know, packaging choices, lightweight glass.
Yeah, and that's a thing, isn't it?
Packaging.
Yeah, it's you do notice it a bit anyway. You do notice it. Well, you certainly notice a difference when you pick up a bottle.
Yeah, when you pick up one of those real big heavy ones now, you do really notice them. But, you know, we've been putting a bit of wine into keg as well.
And what have you got in keg? I'm asking with a self-interest.
At the moment, I've just been kegging up a product we call Light Red, which is our chillable red. It's been working really well, some good venues. It's just little things as well. We don't purchase any treated timber. So all the new vineyards we're planting using the steel posts. We are planting up at a higher cordon, so the height of the vine is a bit higher than normal, and that's so we can run our miniature baby doll sheep through the vineyard and have them grazing for longer. So, you know, reducing the tractor work as well in the vineyard.
How many baby doll sheep have you got?
We've got about 35 at the moment. We're hoping to have another successful lambing this year. But
how many breeders have you got?
Breeders, we've got two rams.
Yeah.
So we buy our rams and our ewes from a lady called Dee Nolan. She's in Coonawarra. Mm-hmm. So she's helping us a lot with making sure we, you know, look after the bloodlines and breed them all well. Because there's not many options in Australia. But it's a bit of a slow go. So we also bring in some merinos through winter as well.
When there's less impact on them. And if they can reach up a bit higher, obviously.
Correct, And when there's a bit more feed for them to be eating, bringing in more sheep.
That's fun. Love it. And then obviously they're eating away and then they're fertilising the rows as well.
Exactly, correct, yep.
Win-win. One of our guests coming up later in the show is Will Derham. He's got a winery on the Ballarine called Banks Road. And he always talked about wanting to have baby doll sheep in his vineyard. So I must find out how that project's going, actually.
Chat to him about it.
So he needs to go and see Dee Nolan if he hasn't done anything about it yet.
Yeah, no, Dee Nolan's the lady to go and see. She's the expert. She's actually related to Amelia Nolan from Elkina Wines. So just like the wine industry, everyone's all friends and family.
She's the managing director there, isn't she, Amelia?
That's right.
And so how long have you been here from New Zealand?
I came over in 2011, so it's been a little while now.
Oh. Is it feeling like home a little bit over there in McLaren Vale?
Yeah, definitely. Australia is home now, actually Australian. my husband and my son and I, we all went and got our citizenship, so we're Australians, Much to the upset of family back home.
they can come and visit.
Yeah, absolutely. Adelaide's very similar to a lot of places in New Zealand. It doesn't really feel much like being in Australia very often. when it's 45 degrees it does, but...
Yeah, right. Well, look, there's only a few times when your loyalty's going to be tested, isn't it? Sort of the cricket and the rugby. And maybe some of the...
Not a very loyal Kiwi.
Well, you do better to follow your rugby union team, I can tell. Lauren, it's been really fun. Thank you. So the judging panel for the Young Gun of Wine.
Yeah.
So that's when is there a result? Because we've got the top 50 winemakers.
Yeah, it's announced early June, I think, in Melbourne. We have a trade tasting and then an awards ceremony that evening. Mm-hmm. So that's when that all happens. But there's also running at the same time, the Young Gun of Wines runs the Vineyard of the Year Awards too.
Because this will be one that is a real... of real interest for you, obviously, from what we've just been talking
about. Yeah, I've been entering. So Orbis has been finalist for, I think, 3 years in a row now. The vineyards that have been taking out the prize have been really excellent really excellent producers of grapes. So, you know, people who I really love to go and visit and see what they're doing and learn more from. So it's great to see an awards which is acknowledging viticulturalists' effort and you know, how important their role is in the industry. Because there's not many of them, of those awards, and not often that they do get to have their sort of
time in the sun.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and that's true, because increasingly winemakers are really paying homage to their partner out in the vineyard.
And
as you say, it is great to have it, you know, lauded at in the media and out in the industry to say, well, mm-hmm. these people are doing a really cracking job. That's fantastic. So that'll keep going, because Young Gun of Wine's been going like 17, 18 years, isn't it?
18 years, that's right.
Yeah. That's fantastic. And so I love the fact that, you know, Young Gun of Wine brings the last year's winner back to, it's like Top Gun bringing, you know, the guys back as an instructor. So it's a nice little tip the hat to that movie. Well, I'm sure we're going to hear lots more, and please keep us updated with what's going on. But there's some, so let's just go back for everyone. So laurenlangfieldwines.com is the website. Yes. There's a couple of beautiful wines on there at the moment. $100 will get them at your, to your house pretty much. So get one, you know, get into that. And then Orbis Wines. So there's the label Orbis Wines. It's got an animal of some sort, which I'm assuming is an orbis,
an Ouroboros.
All right. Was that a dinosaur?
It's a serpent eating its tail. So it's an old symbol used, ancient Egyptian symbol used to sort of represent eternal life. And we use it to represent our efforts towards a closed loop, sustainable production.
That's really cool. So, and that's Orbis. So Orbis, orbiswines.com.au. So go and check out.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Lauren's handiwork over there as well. Look forward to hearing, you know, who's the cream of the crop, I guess, out of the awards later. And then the 5255 wines, we'll keep an eye out for that release too, because that sounds fun. So every year, three winemakers get...
Every two years.
Yep. Fantastic. Well, good luck with that too.
Great. Thank you very much, Sean.
All right, Lauren. Great to chat, and have a great afternoon.
Cheers, you too. Thank you. Bye-bye.
See you. Bye-bye.